One,
two,
three,
four.
Monster movie.
Fun time, go! Monster movie.
Fun time, go! Monster
movie.
Fun time,
go!
Monster movie.
Fun time, go!
With Precious D and Honey Bee.
Fun time, go!
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and neighbors, welcome to Monster Movie Fun Time Go. I am one of your hosts, Precious D.
And I am the other one of your hosts, Honey Bee.
Honey Bee, why don't you tell the folks who we are? Because I always do it.
All right. Well, Precious and I are two best friends making our way through the history of kaiju movies. We started in 1933 with King Kong, the original, and today we have made it all the way to 2005, question mark? Is it five? 2005-ish?
Four.
2004 with King Kong.
No, we're doing... That's why you had the year wrong. No, we're doing Tremors first.
Just kidding. Take that back. Rewind it. We're two best friends making our way through the history of kaiju movies. We started with 1933's King Kong. And today, that is why I did the date wrong. We are in 2004 with Tremors 4?
Yes. The legend begins.
Begins? Oh, yeah, that's
The Legend
true.
Begins.
Okay, got it.
That's the subtitle, The Legend Begins. This was a direct-to-video horror western.
Ouch.
Directed by S.S. Wilson. I believe he did all the other ones. Well, he did the first four. I guess he did not do the last three, according to this. And I don't see that he did the TV show. But I think the TV show was around this time. I'm not sure. Let me check.
Oh, I thought it was way after.
No, Tremors. The TV show was 2003.
Oh.
It's a sequel to Back to Perfection. So this is a... So I guess when that got canceled, they're like, all right, let's go back to the movies. I said that because something I was reading was saying that this was a prequel to the TV show as well as the movies. So, Honey Bee, what are your initial thoughts on Tremors 4?
My initial thoughts are... This one just is not very exciting.
Oh, really?
It doesn't keep the pace. It doesn't keep the pace for me like the last three movies did.
There's a lot of downtime. I'll give you that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely different pace. I do like how we keep the same, like, dude. But, yeah, I just kind of felt like this one was like, boo, tomato, tomato, tomato.
Is that you throwing tomatoes at it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or rotten tomatoes, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I kind of liked it. It does have some gaps where there's not enough graboids going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little too much character development.
Yeah.
But I did like I like that it was a western. I like that Michael Gross is in it playing a Hiram Gummer, a ancestor of Burt Gummer, and that they made him be a different character. They didn't have him just acting exactly like Burt Gummer.
Exactly. I did like how they kind of made him like the opposite.
Yeah. So that was fun. I don't think it was a coincidence that they cast a redhead as his love interest.
Definitely not a coincidence.
Couldn't get Reba, but they got someone Reba adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that we still had, what's his name? The store, the family.
Yeah.
What is their name? Wang? Chang? Chang.
I do not remember.
Chang. Chang's Market. So really the only returning character, Michael Gross is the only returning actor, and the only returning character is Chang's Market.
Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of just, eh.
Okay.
I don't even have very many notes for this one.
Well, let's go through our cast here. We have Michael Gross as Hiram Gummer, Sarah Botsford as Christine Lord, Billy Drago as Black Hand Kelly. He's been in a few things. We'll look him up in a minute. Brent Rome as Juan Padilla, August Schellenberg as Tacopa. That was the Indian guy. J.E. Freeman as Old Fred. Ming Lo as Pyong Lin Chang. Lydia Luk as Lu Wan Chang. Sam Lai as Fu Yen Chang. Neil Kopit as Victor. Sean Moram as Western Union Clerk. Matthew Seth Wilson as Brick Walters. John Dixon as Big Horse Johnson. Mr. Johnson. Dan Lemieux as Stoney Walters. Don Ruffin as Soggy. And Lou Carlucci as Mine Foreman.
Mm. Wait, who played...
Browser game?
Who was the Kelly character?
Black Hand Kelly? That was Billy Drago.
Mm-hmm. Billy Drago. Man.
He had a recurring role in The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. and Charmed. He was in Pale Rider and The Untouchables. Mm. I think it might have been Briscoe County that I was recognizing him from. He's in Vamp. Ooh. He was in an episode of Friday the 13th, the series. So, why were you asking about him in particular?
I felt like I did recognize him, but I couldn't think of what it was from, and then he just kind of gave me the creeps.
Well, that is kind of his job, normally.
Yeah, for sure.
Usually cast as a guy that gives you the creeps. Well, let's get into our plot from Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia. In 1889, the inhabitants of Rejection are completely dependent on the income from a nearby silver mine.
LOL.
One day water from a hot spring causes graboid eggs to hatch, resulting in the death of 17 miners. Hiram Gummer, great-grandfather of Bert Gummer and the mine's owner, arrives in town to assess the situation. And he is very much an Eastern dandy. He doesn't have a clue. He brings his bicycle with him. After juvenile graboids that can shoot out of the ground, later dubbed dirt dragons, attack his camp one night, he is shocked by their presence. One of his companions, Juan, kills one with a pickaxe, and the pair escapes while two others accompanying them are killed. Inexperienced with and not fond of firearms, which, yes, is a great contrast to his descendant, Hiram puts out a call for a gunfighter, to which Black Hand Kelly responds. Okay, but he's establishing relationships kind of reluctantly. They're just giving us the bullet points here. But most of the town is picked up and moved out because of all the deaths. But the Changs are still there, and the lady that runs the hotel is there. And this Indian guy who claims the cigar store Indian is a statue of him, Tacopa, is there, and a couple of guys. They managed to hire a couple guys that haven't left yet that are camped outside of town. Oh, and Juan. Juan, who keeps losing hats or can't afford hats, is there.
Also, how unfortunate would it be for your name to be Big Horse Johnson? Like, that is an unfortunate... Like, that kid got beat up a lot growing up.
I'm sure that's not the name on his birth certificate.
Old Big Horse Johnson? Johnson? You got to put the emphasis on the right word or it's just rude.
I think that's a nickname. I guess he rides a big horse? I don't know. I don't remember if he himself was particularly large.
Hung like a horse? Big Horse maybe, Johnson? Maybe, possibly. I don't know.
Could go either way. Could be both. Nobody calls me Bridge Building Johnson. See that bridge over there? I built that bridge. Nobody calls me Bridge Builder Johnson. See that building? I designed that building. I built it. my own hands. Nobody calls me Architect Johnson or Building Maker Johnson. But you fuck one goat.
Gross.
These are the jokes, folks. Where was I? So
sure,
anyway,
sorry.
they're a lot of the time that you didn't care for is him, you know, getting to know the people in town and as understanding the relationships and him establishing a rapport with the kid and teaching the kid mm-hmm. bad life lessons, cheating the kid.
Yeah, it really, the gingerbread thing really pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not cool. He doesn't want, there's hardly any food left at the hotel he checks into, which is just a front room and then a back room with a bunch of cots, a tent basically with mm-hmm. cots. And the lady's like, oh, there's not much left, but I can make you a pot of beans. And he's like, nonsense, you've got flour, don't you? And some sugar and ginger, make me a ginger cake. So she does. And then the kid comes in and he says to him, how would you like this last piece of ginger cake? And he says, yeah, sure. And he says, then go into my bag in the other room and get my bottle of booze, whatever it was, whatever kind it was. And as when the kid's gone, first he eats one half of the piece and then he eats the other half of the piece. And the kid comes back and he's like, hey, you said I could have it, which he didn't actually literally say it, but it was certainly implied.
Yeah.
And he says, this is a lesson for you. If someone can take advantage of you, they will. Or if you can take advantage of someone, you should, I think, is the way he puts it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and then the kid leaves and the woman's like, that was terrible. He's like, someone's got to teach the boy. Which then the kid turns it around on him later.
And, yeah.
After he fixes his bicycle, because he wants $5 for fixing the bicycle, which was quite a lot of money back then. In the end, he becomes good friends with the kid and everybody
yeah, for
in
sure.
town. Let's see. We were talking about Black Hand Kelly coming to town. Hiram and Kelly do not get along well, though Kelly succeeds in conveying to Hiram some of his attitude towards firearms and life in general. Hiram, Juan, and Kelly discover that a total of 4 graboids have hatched, including the one Juan killed earlier. Kelly is later eaten alive by a now fully grown graboid.
Yeah, I was really shocked that Kelly was eaten alive. I'm not going to lie. Especially when he was, like, shooting his fucking gun down the graboid's throat.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, yeah. For sure he's going to make it out because he was, like, the cool gunman dude. Also, while we're here, when Kelly first shows up, or I guess it's a little bit before that, when they're, like, making the ad for the gunman, Mrs. Yeah. or Miss Chang, she's, like, talking about, like, cowboys, and she's like, no, cowboys shoot inside the house. And whenever Kelly shows up, I love how, like, when he's, like, getting ready to shoot, she's like, see, I told you guys, cowboys shoot inside the house. Like, no, get him out of here. I thought that was really funny. But, yeah, I was actually yeah. shocked that he really did die.
Yeah. Now, I thought I had seen this movie before, but I didn't really remember any of it as it was happening. I may have just, according to Letterboxd, I've watched it before, but I might have just been going down the list, clicking them all off, assuming I had seen them all, like when I first registered my account. Because, yeah, I wasn't remembering any of it. But I'm not sure if it surprised me or not, because it's kind of the, oh, yeah, the big... big shot expert that we brought in gets eaten and we're on our own again. You know, we can't just hire our way out of this situation. We're going to have to step up and take care of it ourselves.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. I thought this
well,
guy was going to save the day.
That's they do continue to use practical effects throughout this film. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But it did seem like maybe the budget was lower or something. Let me see what it was. It does not say. The budget was $5 million.
I was really glad that we got like a different stage, because they've done that kind of every movie where we get like a different stage of the creature. So I was really glad that they stuck with that and that we did get like, you know, the babies.
I was watching a behind the scenes thing on the DVD I got, and they were mentioning that, that they were showing us an earlier stage that they kind of established the whole cycle, but now they were going to sneak in an earlier stage that they hadn't shown us before, because that is what they always do.
The spirit demons.
When they're out there hunting the graboids, they end up at some kind of a wagon station, thinking the floor will be strong enough to keep the graboids out, but it's not. The graboids just start dismantling the floor.
Yeah.
And eventually, they get Black Hand Kelly and just, and he's halfway in and he's pointing his gun right below him, right into the thing's mouth, and shooting, but it's not doing any good.
But it wasn't. It didn't work.
So maybe it would have eventually killed him by making him get a bad infection in the in the wounds, just not an immediate effect. And they use the telegraph to sort of, without knowing how it works, like if we just bang on it constantly, the people back at Chang's will maybe figure out it's us, which the kid figures out through process of elimination. And then what's her name comes to rescue them. But Hiren decides to abandon rejection and tries to convince the town folks to do the same, but they refuse to leave their homes. They also force him to give them the silver mine, threatening to alert potential buyers to the danger if he sells it out from under them. In Carson City, Hiren learns of a telegram revealing that the fully grown graboids have made it through the pass and are headed for town. They thought there was enough rocks around the town, I think. Folks, if you haven't seen these before, graboids can't travel through rocky terrain. And if you get up on the rocks, they can't, you know, they won't sense your vibrations. So they thought they were going to be safe in town, but they somehow didn't end run around the rocks or something. Changing his mind, he buys weapons with the last of his valuable belongings. Oh, yeah, he revealed earlier that he wasn't actually currently rich, because he obviously grew up rich, but his father had sunk all their money into this mine, which had stopped returning on the investment. So all he really had was what he had on him. His diamond cufflinks, the $20 gold piece that he used as a watch fob, and the watch itself.
Which he pays Kelly with.
Yeah. He buys weapons with last of his valuable belongings, heads back to rejection to lead the last stand against the graboids, and helps the town ready itself. This one gun that he brought was absolutely ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
I don't... Do you remember what it was called?
No.
I have trouble believing it's a real gun, because it was kind of the size of a cannon, but still shaped like a gun. Like, it still had a trigger, just a giant trigger, which doesn't seem like the most efficient way. But you loaded it... Well, you loaded it both like you would load a cannon or like you would load an old-fashioned musket, and that you pour things
like
down
a
the barrel and
black
pack
powder
them in
gun,
there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was shaped like your basic rifle, just, you know, 100 times bigger. And
yeah, I will say that one of my
a punt gun.
One of my favorite parts, though, is like around this part when they're like getting ready, and Juan says, "Like the Alamo," and he's like, "But Juan, we were the losers of the Alamo." And Juan says, "Speak for yourself, gringo." That was my favorite part of the entire movie.
Yep. I'm looking this up. This is a real fucking thing. It was called a punt gun. It was called a punt gun, which I remembered. Let's see. A type of extremely large shotgun used in the 19th and early 20th centuries for shooting large numbers of waterfowl for commercial harvesting operations.
Jeez.
They're characteristically too large for an individual to fire from the shoulder or often carry alone. But unlike artillery pieces, punt guns are able to be aimed and fired by a single person from a mount. In this case, the mount is basically a small watercraft like a punt. Many early models appear similar to oversized versions of shoulder weapons of the time, with full-length wooden stocks with a normal-sized shoulder stock. Most later variations do away with the full-length stock, especially more modern models, and have mounted hardware fixed to the gun to allow them to be fitted to a pintle? I'm not going down a big rabbit hole here, but... yeah, there's a picture of a guy in a little boat, in a little punt, using it. There was a picture of one guy balancing it on another guy's shoulder. I mean, it's still ridiculous. So, yeah, I guess if you're not doing sporting duck hunting, but rather industrial duck hunting, you take this giant-ass thing out and shoot 10 Jesus. Ducks all at once. Why would they even have this thing? Because it doesn't seem like the environment for that kind of gun. Anyway, he heads back to Rejection to lead a last stand against the Graboids and helps the town ready itself. After two Graboids are killed, a third one adapts and avoids all the traps. So he misses with the gun once, but then he hits it the second time. And does he kill the second Graboid with the gun? Or do they... No, the Indian puts the saw blade in the ground. Which I liked that kill.
Oh, yeah, that was a good part.
He shoves one of those big, you know, two-man saws that you saw down trees with and shoves it into a hole in the ground and then starts banging on it to attract the Graboid, and it comes zipping right at it and then runs straight into it. I mean, we all see it underground, so then it's like blood starts oozing up from below the ground.
Yeah, it's orange blood.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a cool moment. I like that.
That was cool. He also fakes out another one of the Graboids with his statue.
No. The Graboid, we think for a moment that the Graboid has eaten him right after he killed the second one. We think for a moment the Graboid has eaten him, but it has eaten the statue, actually, and then coughs it up because it's gross. It can't digest it. They have a plan to use the powder. Oh, one of the Graboids grabs the punt gun and steals it, but they still have a bunch of powder for it, so they try to make a bomb, but it's taking too long. So it says here, Hiram tricks it into coming to the surface and then attaches it by the tail to the flywheel of a steam traction engine, which we've seen throughout the movie. It's like a steam train, but it's a smaller, like a little tractor kind of thing. The Graboid is reeled in and slammed against the front wheels and boiler with such force that it is explosively decapitated on impact. With the creatures dead, the town decides to keep them secret out of fear that no one would settle in the area if their existence were known. I'm not sure this is the right decision. They should warn everybody and nobody should live there. And use the proceeds from the mine to pay for their belongings. Hiram settles in Rejection, renamed Perfection, building his home in the same place where his great-grandson Bert would one day be. He is also given a Colt 1865 Gatling gun and begins target practice, enjoying it. Yeah, he's trying to learn to get better with the gun, and he just sucks. And the woman brings out, Sarah brings out this present. She said, I thought this might help you with your aim. And unveils a big Gatling gun. And he actually managed to hit the targets with it. There was a browser game called Dirt Dragons created to market the film. I don't know if this still exists. Nope, the official game site has been discontinued, but the game is still available on other sites. Well, I'll look into that later. You can, look up Dirt Dragons, folks. See if you can still play that game somewhere. So there you go, folks. That is the fourth in the Tremors franchise, fourth film, fifth entry. So, Honeybee, any further thoughts on Tremors 4?
I will say it did get better as the movie went on. I did like that it was a prequel to the 1990s Tremors. I liked the Hiram Burt parallels and Hiram, sorry. Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of boring. It was okay. I'm going to give it 3 stars. I didn't love it. I was close to disliking it, but it was just all right. There were some things in it that were funny, some like things that were kind of cute. But as far as like the other 3 movies go, especially the first 2 in comparison, this one just kind of sucked a little bit. The pace was a little off. It wasn't as funny. I felt like the jokes were kind of, I guess in the other 3 movies, they're very overdone in a very like 90s comedy kind of way. And I feel like this kind of just gets a little bit further from that. I did like that it was set in like 18 whatever, but it just wasn't enough for me. So yeah, it was just okay. 3 stars from me. Sorry, Tremors 4.
Well, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I can't remember if I've seen this before. I thought I had. I certainly was aware of it and knew it was a period piece and a prequel, but I didn't remember any details. I gave it 5 stars. Maybe I was just in the right mood, but I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
I liked all the performers. Of course, I always like Michael Gross.
Mm.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I did think good. There were times when I'm like, let's get to the Graboids, people. More Graboids.
Yeah. But, it was a slow burn.
Yeah. I did like that it's still practical effects.
Definitely.
Which will be getting increasingly rare as we go forward. And I don't remember of these next 3 Tremors films if they're still using practical effects or not. We'll find out when we get to them.
Yeah, I did like all the monster shit. I liked like the tongues and shit. It was all right.
I'm thinking maybe we should do Tremors the series on the Patreon.
Oh, okay.
Maybe do like 2 episodes per episode, if that makes sense. The way I'm saying that.
Yeah.
So we're still making our way through a couple other things. I had something else in mind, but since we kind of passed over the series, I'm thinking it might be a good thing to do next on the Patreon. And it is I just bought really cheap a 7-movie and the TV series DVD set. But none of the movies are streaming free anywhere, but the TV show is on either Pluto or Tubi, or possibly both. Let me look it up real quickly. Well, the interweb is not telling me, but I know I watched, because I started watching one of the episodes on one of those streamers. Tubi, there it is. It's on Tubi. Found it. So, there you go, folks. Honeybee, what are we watching next week?
Next week is King Kong, question mark?
King Kong, 2005's King Kong. Where is that showing? Is that on Max?
I don't know. I watched it on Vudu.
2 different... Oh, it's on Netflix.
Nice.
Of both the theatrical and the extended on Vudu, and I've got a physical copy of the extended version. But it was like on DVD, and it takes up 2 discs. Because it is long. It's over 3 hours, folks. That is the 2005 King Kong by Peter Jackson. So go check that out on Netflix before next week if you want to watch along with us. And I had some kaiju news. I meant to do that at the top of the show. Kaiju, this is appropriate to this week's episode. Kaiju versus Cowboys is having a Kickstarter for their 4th issue. That's going on now. So I think it'll still be going on when we post this episode. So I will put a link in the show notes.
Hell yeah.
So there you go, folks. So thanks for joining us. You can find links to all our things at mmftg.com. And if you want to support the show and hear those Tremors, the series episodes, you can support us at patreon.com/mmftg. The basic level is just $3 a month. And you get to request a movie if you join the Patreon. So check that out. So until next week, I have been Precious D.
And I have been Honey Bee.
Remember to keep calm and take shelter in basements.
And please, don't misuse science.
We won't see you, but you will hear us next time on Monster Movie Funtime Go. You've been listening to Monster Movie Funtime Go. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on your podcasting platform of choice. Our theme song is by the Texicano Folk Rock Punk featuring Lita Lopez. You can support the show, find links to our social media, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/mmftg. Funtime Go!